Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. You can always find out more at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Thank you for joining us. For many of our Christian friends around the world, December's Christmas season is a special time. As you probably know, Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus, but actually, this time of year has taken on a cultural and economic significance as well, as millions of people, you know, take advantage of the buying opportunities of this part of the year. And that's a tradition that, in its own right, births new life into the economy. So however you feel about that financial piece, that financial reality, is powerful. In fact, some would say it's a necessity for businesses, as this time of year really helps to generate profits that will last through the coming year. Now, I'm no economist, but I know that's probably pretty important. So whether you stand with the Christian prophet Jesus or the financial prophets of the season, December has come to represent something important for both the spiritual and the secular among us. And really, there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, that dual nature of the month provides us with an opportunity to learn balance, to make choices, to understand that it's possible to have both a life in the world of commerce, materialism, and economy, as well as a life in the spiritual, religious, or energetic realms. In some ways, that's the story of all the winter holidays here in the Northern Hemisphere, a mix between the economic realities of a holiday season that come in a darker, colder time of the year, and also our desire to brighten things up a bit. So our Jewish friends light candles this time of year to honor a temple miracle that happened thousands of years ago. Christians decorate their homes, their yards with, you know, light displays, and others honor their African heritage with the celebration of Kwanzaa. So lighting seven candles to honor seven principles, principles like unity, purpose, creativity, and faith, bringing light in a darker time of year. So for my listeners, like I said, in the Northern Hemisphere, these traditions come at a time of bitter cold and darkness for some. So the light helps to bring some joy. So as we said, the dual nature of this time of year can be a great opportunity to get in touch with the two sides of our natures, the side that lives in the world of economy, jobs, groceries, gifts, and the other side of our nature, the one that wants to transcend the earthly material existence and get in touch with higher spiritual or universal realities. And there's something really exciting about that. The journey of personal and spiritual growth takes on so much more meaning when we see it in the context of where we are and where we want to be, when we realize that it's our day-to-day activities in the material world right now that can provide us with the experiences we need in order to grow beyond them, that's something special. It's humbling in a way. Why? Well, someone once said to me, "Never forget from whence you came." Now, that's really a poetic way to say, never forget as you grow that you were once someone struggling, someone looking for that next paycheck, battling depression, or struggling to get through a class. Never forget that you may still be struggling with those things. So stay humble. Never forget where you came from. I guess a good lens to see this through is the story of Jesus that's told this time of year. Now, of course, versions differ across the New Testament Gospels, especially Luke and Matthew, and history builds on history, adds things in, takes things away. But let's talk about that story anyway, especially as it comes to us through the book of Luke and through the story as it's arrived here to us today and is told in these modern times. So a few thousand years ago, the Roman emperor puts out a decree, right, that there should be a census of the Roman world so that people could be counted and taxed. It was also around this time that Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, who prophesied to her that she'd have a son, and this son would be Jesus, the Son of God. So she and her husband, Joseph, had to travel to Bethlehem to take part in this census for the Roman world, and Mary made that trip pregnant. So when they got to Bethlehem, there's no place to stay, right? You know that piece of the story. There was no room at the inn. So they had to bed down together in a stable with all the animals. That was where Jesus was born. And the folks coming to see Jesus had to visit the baby in the stable. So interestingly, those first visitors, at least in the book of Luke, were shepherds, folks who worked on the land with the animals. And in Matthew, it was the wise men that came to visit Jesus and make their offerings. But Luke had that different take. And so in a time of great focus on tax and economy, very earthly concerns, an important spiritual event occurred. You know, Mary and her family had this divine destiny to reach the highest heights, but this birth occurred in a stable. So as you see, the spiritual gravity of the moment really stands out, at least in that gospel, because it was from such a humble beginning. Mary wasn't a famous princess. You know, Joseph wasn't a socialite. He was a carpenter. And the first visitors in Luke's gospel weren't dignitaries, but shepherds, people working the evening, the nighttime, watching their flocks. So the background of shepherds and taxes or workers and political concerns really helps to show that the spiritual journey ahead, as represented by that the baby Jesus, would be something of great importance. Why? Because it came from a place directly tied to the earth, earthly concerns. The spiritual message that comes, the announcements of these angels, that interrupts lives in progress, lives of traveling for a census or shepherding, lives that may have otherwise gone unnoticed. That's why this holiday season is so special. Whether or not your faith is built on the story of Jesus or, for that matter, Christianity in general, doesn't matter. The energy of this time of year is one of great importance. So no matter the size of our house, who we are, where we live, we can light a candle, we can decorate a tree, we can brighten a day, we can raise someone's spirits. No matter how mundane an event seems, it has the stuff of greatness built in. Making eye contact with a stranger, you know that, and then you let that fleeting smile cross your lips, that can change someone's day. I know that for me, that gesture has restored my faith in humanity when I really needed it. Or maybe giving a few dollars to charity, buying a stranger a meal, or giving some encouragement to a friend. These things aren't the stuff of legend or gospel or ancient ritual. No angel announces those acts. They're the stuff of the everyday. The stuff that can transform our lives and the lives of others right here, right now, is in our everyday life. And as I'm so fond of saying, you don't have to be rich, famous, or ordained to do this. You don't need to attend a retreat, read a best-selling self-help book, or end up in the news for your efforts. If your origins are in a stable, you still have the same right to personal and spiritual growth as someone decreeing a census and taxation from a palace. A candle casts the same light in a rural farmhouse as it does in a ballroom in the grandest mansion. As you think about the holidays of this season, I want you to consider that all of us live in two worlds, two apparent realities, a commercial one and, well, I guess you could call it a spiritual one, but it doesn't have to be spiritual. Let's say two realities that are, one is economic, one is energetic. You're a person who may have a paycheck to earn, gifts to buy, bills to pay, just like me. But you're also a person who has dreams to dream, enlightenment to reach, and a message to bring. And those things are not mutually exclusive. In fact, you can use the events of everyday economy to enhance those other goals you have. How? Maybe you work hard to keep the bills paid so that you can provide a safe and comfortable home for your family, and that makes you the brightest and best version of a parent that you can envision. Or you buy a gift for someone to cheer them up, because you know the energy that that creates can raise your vibration and the recipient's vibration in some small but really significant way. See, it's the humble act that can make the greatest impact. Look, if you don't believe me, then think about Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. He had that humble earthly beginning, but stretched to the greatest heights. He didn't have a birth announcement in the Roman Empire news, but instead had a few folks over to say hello before word really got out. Think back through your life right now. Okay, think back through some safe memories and feelings that you have, things that brought you a little happiness or brightened your day in a fun or unexpected way. What are they? Who was there? Now, I've done that exercise before, and some of the moments that have really brought me the most happiness or personal growth didn't take place in sprawling palaces or with dazzling fanfare. I think about the smells of a backyard barbecue, one of my earliest childhood memories at one of my childhood homes decades ago. Only my folks and my brother were there, and my dad threw a ball so high while we were playing catch, I swore it was going into the clouds. I can see that like it was yesterday. I remember he kept throwing it because it made me happy, higher and higher. I couldn't believe it. I really thought it was going to go into space. You know, I think about a professor in a tiny office who took the time to have just a few conversations with me. They couldn't have been more than 15 to 30 minutes each. Those conversations changed the way I saw religion, life, and I guess eventually the universe. I think about some of the amazing guests that have been right here on the Nobody Guide to Life who've offered such amazing encouragement and support to you, the listeners, to me. Those are the kinds of things that keep a show like this going. See, these things took place between me and a few other people, and there was no grand announcement. They're single candles in time that have kept at least my fires burning. They happened in the company of people who had jobs, obligations, but still found ways in everyday life to inspire or raise the energy of the world, or at least my world. So who's done that for you? Or more importantly, who have you done that for? So we're at a time of year when a baby in a manger went on to lead a revolution. Now, I know the biblical history gives his birth a divine origin, but if you think about it, yours may have one too, depending, of course, on your belief system. But if that's true, and we all have that spark of bright energy or the divine within us, then we can all have a destiny that stretches out from any humble beginning to any lofty goal. I guess it all depends on how we use the events of everyday life to inspire others right where we are with the tools that we already have in the stable. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Nobody Guide to Life. You can check out more episodes at thenobodyguidetolife.com, or you can reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook at Nobody's View, or on Instagram at J.A. Plosker, or join our Facebook community, Simple Spirituality. If you liked what you heard on this episode, please consider a subscription or a review to the show, or consider sharing the show with someone you know. Keep practicing and have a good week.